Tea Time, Midlife Edition. It's not a coffee break. It's tea time. Slow down. Relax. It's your turn. Welcome, 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 welcome. Turn the tea kettle on. Pick your favorite tea. Grab your favorite teacup. Let it steep. Add what you will. Find a cozy spot. It's tea time. Midlife edition.
Welcome to Tea Time Midlife Edition. I'm your host, Regina Young, and today's guest is Rita Moore and Sariaka Yolanda. Is that Samba?
Sabio.
Sabio. Got it. I am so excited you guys are here. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having us here.
Yes. Absolutely. Today's topic is aging redefined. But before we get started, wait right there. What kind of tea are you drinking?
I'm drinking my Glamma peppermint tea.
How about yourself?
I'm drinking a jasmine green tea.
Ah, yeah. I love jasmine. Actually, both of you picked very wonderful flavors that has a great aroma. So I'm a fan of jasmine and peppermint. But today I'm drinking, it's Moringa tea. And that is excellent for vitamin C, vitamin A, and iron. But check with your herbalist and doctor, make sure it fits in your health regimen, okay?
Okay.
But what we're going to start is, I'm going to ask you to tell me a little bit about yourself. We're going to start with Sariaka. First thing is, we're such an unusual name. I mean, where'd that come from?
Okay, Sariaka is my first name. That is my name on my birth certificate. It was my paternal grandmother's name. I never met her. Okay. And my middle name is Yolanda. And that is what I'm an immigrant from Honduras.
Honduras, yes.
And when I became a naturalized citizen, my parents chose to only use my middle name as my first name.
Oh, Yolanda. Okay,
yeah,
got it.
Yeah, but a couple of years ago, during meditation, it came to me that I should embrace my first name.
Absolutely.
In honor to my grandmother, who I never met. So Sariaka Yolanda is what I go by.
Well, thank you. And mine is Regina, and it is my grandmother's name. She passed away at 100. So I want that name to last. Rita, yes. Introduce yourself.
Well, I'm Rita Flores Moore, and I am a speaker. That's my number one thing. I've been through many phases, but my number one thing is public speaking. I enjoy getting on a stage and just sharing. And right now, my speaking focus is on seniors aging gracefully. So I talk about senior wisdom. That's my topic. Yes.
Got it. Sariaka, I didn't catch what you do.
Yeah, I am a health coach, a certified health coach. And I work specifically with women that I call seasoned sisters.
Hello.
They're seasoned because of, that the age that they have lived through their life, and they're also wise. Mm-hmm. So, they're seasoned sisters, and really helping them to embrace the stage that they're in,
yes,
mentally, physically, and every other way. So yeah, definitely aligned with what Rita does. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Oh, this is going to be a good conversation. Well, just to bring the topic back around, it's aging redefined. There's going to be some pieces we're going to put in, but how do you know each other? I'm going to just throw that out there. I met you wonderful ladies at Clubhouse, and I know you have a wonderful room called Aging Redefined. So how do you know each other?
Well, Sariaka is my cousin.
Oh, your family.
I was born in Honduras also.
Okay.
We're both naturalized citizens of the United States. yeah, we were born in San Antonio, and yeah, that's how we know each other. We're cousins and we're the same age.
That's right.
And I'm going to just throw it out there. What age is that? We're going to kick it in. Let them know.
We are 70.
We're 70, yes.
Oh.
We both made 70, well, last year.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to be 71 this year.
Okay, yay. Oh, when you see the picture of these ladies, you'll be like, really? Are they really? Seriously, they look brilliant and so vibrant. I just want to know, did you have a career before what you're doing now that is passion? Because I get you are passionately about speaking. You're passionate about health and well-being and mental well-being for our people at this point in their life. Did you have a career before this?
I did have a career before this. I think the seed for health and wellness was planted in my 20s, but I really didn't pay attention to it. And I, you know, I went through HR, was an executive, a human resources person. I then at 60 years of age, moved to California from New York and got into financial services. You know, I actually got my securities licenses at the age of 61. And then years ago, I said, you know, I don't like doing that anymore. And I rekindled my love for health and wellness and helping other women, helping seasoned sisters. Yeah.
Wow. I love that because you sound like it is at midlife. You have made a choice like that was it was going one way and you knew it would keep going marching that way. But was it really fueling your passion or your purpose? So I really got that. How about you, Rita?
Wow. Well, I worked for what I used to simply refer to as the telephone company. That's different now because there's so many different telephone companies. But I grew up in New York City and I started working for a New York telephone company, worked my way up the ladder. I started as a service representative. So I remember when three-way calling first came to be, when caller ID first came to be. Wow. I remember the days before all of those things. But that was my life. And I worked my way up the ladder into engineering. I was placed in the engineering department. And I was an outside plant engineer when I retired. I was forced into retirement.
Oh, it happened.
Yes.
But I wonder if that has anything to do with ageism, but we'll get back to that. Please.
I trained three people to do my job before I left. So I don't know what these companies are thinking, but it's all about the revenue now. It's not really, you know, because I know that when I left, I was able to take with me a pension. People working now don't get that anymore.
Wow.
So
you
know, they just change things. They send the money in different directions. But anyway, that's what I did when I retired. I was designing voice and data circuits. That's when cell phones were becoming very popular and everyone wanted cell towers in their area. And I was the one determining where those cell towers would be placed and how much of our telecommunications equipment was necessary to get it done. So that's what I did. Then when I retired, I started volunteering in a television studio, Comcast Cable. They agreed to train anyone who was willing to volunteer. So I started as a volunteer. Next thing I know, I not only was working the telecommunications equipment, the cameras and the sound equipment, but I was producing television shows. So I produced shows for Comcast for 14 years. Then the pandemic came. Well, I just wanted to say that you wanted to know how did I get into seniors aging redefined. Okay. What happened was my husband passed away in 2018 and I was doing fine because I was very active, always on the go. I had things going on. But my daughter decided that I did not need to be alone. And although I at first argued the point with her because I was doing fine, we had a pandemic. And it really opened my eyes to this world and what's going on. And maybe I shouldn't be alone. And then it brings up the questions. When should people really start thinking about their future? When should you start working on the paperwork and the plans for the future and where you're going to live and who's going to take care of you? And Sidiaka had the interest in healthcare, self-care, especially as you age. And I said, you know, we've got something here.
That brings up the question, how do you see the difference of aging in America versus other countries? Sarah Aka?
Well, it's interesting that you would ask that question. You know, not too long ago, I read a study, and now I believe it's a book by a professor by the name of Becca Levy, Dr. Becca Levy.
Okay, got it.
And she did a study that spanned over 20 years looking at how people think about aging. And she did it in different countries. And what was so fascinating is that in certain other countries, like Asian countries, when she asked people, what do they think about aging? It was all very positive. It was very respectful. And whereas when she asked the same question to people in the US, it was all frailty and, you know, not living. Well, it was all very negative. But what was important about her study is that it concluded that your thinking about aging can impact your longevity up to almost 7.5 years.
Wow.
Yeah. That's really, really a big aha.
A big eye-opener
regarding how we think about aging.
Rita, I'd love to hear your opinion on that.
Well, Sidiaka presented me with that study. And I looked at videos, I read excerpts from the book. And the main thing that appealed to me was Japan. She compared the United States to Japan. And what she stated was, in Japan, if you were to speak to individuals in Japan about what they think about senior citizens, their response would be wisdom. They celebrate their seniors. They put up billboards when someone reaches a certain age. They celebrate it. They have a holiday for senior citizens. And that's in Japan. Whereas when she asked the same question of individuals in the United States, like Sidiaka said, they would respond with Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. You know, who's going to take care of them? You know, they don't look at them the same with the richness. They don't look at them the same way as other countries look at them. So that appeals to me, because my goal in my presentations is to motivate or encourage people to look at seniors as wisdom, as people who are here for you, who can teach you, people you can learn from, rather than someone that's on their way out.
So that kind of brings up the question for me is, what do young folks and sisters or elderly folks, what is their definition?
Yeah, I think, you know, when I look back when I was younger, you know, like let's say me and Rita in our teens or whatever, when we looked at a 50 or 60 year old woman, yeah, we thought she was old. But that no longer, I think we're moving away from that. And thank God that we are. You know, you look now on social media, on Instagram, especially, you see a lot of women who are in their 50s, 60s, 70s, et cetera. And they still have a lot of energy. They're youthful in their thinking and, you know, in the way they look. So I think that's changing. We're not there yet.
No.
But I think it's changing. And I think it's up to us to have those conversations with younger people and helping them to see that, hey, because you're 50, you're 60, you're 70, whatever, you can be as young as you want.
That is real. Yeah.
Yes, you are who you think you are. You are the age you put yourself in. You know, I really never thought about the fact that 70 in some eyes is old. Until someone brought it to my attention, you're 70 years old, you know, and now when I hear of someone passing away, I look at their age, you know, I feel proud that I've passed a lot. I've gotten to this point, but I have to remind myself because I don't think old. I don't feel like it's over. I still try new things. I still venture out and travel and do so many things. And I don't limit myself because of my age. I'm able to move around, get around, take care of myself. So I just don't feel like I'm on my way out. So you are who you think you are. You are your thoughts. I know I feel like maybe I'm about 50. I feel the same way I felt when I was 50. I have to be reminded that I'm 70 years old.
That reminds me of when I went to my 30-year union, and it was very funny. I was all the same age, but I was the youngest thing there.
Okay.
But that's because of whatever you think you are, you are.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. Jen, why do youth or young folks think seasoned sisters not a source of wisdom? Can someone explain that to me?
I think it's because of how older people are portrayed in the United States in general. Now, families, I know that parents normally tell their children, raise their children, respect your elders. So they're polite, and for the most part, they're polite and they don't disrespect them, but they feel that I have people trying to do things for me, and I look at them like, I can do that, you know. But for the most part, we raise our children respecting elders as people who are frail, they're getting old, they need some help. And if we put that in their mind, that's how they treat you. And that's why I feel that that's just a U.S. trait, a U.S. tradition. Old people, we have senior homes. I actually was online and a ad popped up about a senior living facility. What? You know, they just figured I'm a certain age, I must need a senior living facility. That's the thought that comes in your mind. Not, you know, would you like another job? Are you interested in going back to school? No. Do you need a new senior living facility? So it's what the thought is, how we think of older folks, is the ads that we put out. Older people need help. They can't do anything anymore. They're on their way out. And I think that's why the young people treat us that way.
Oof.
Yeah, I would agree. I think so too. I mean, you think of just society and general things that are said about certain people who are a certain age. And I don't want to get into politics, but things that they've said about President Biden, you know, he's in his 80s, you know, things that they say about him. You know, I think about when COVID first started, who were the most vulnerable? 65 and over.
Yeah, whatever. Right. Yeah. They're going to die if they get it.
Die. And then there was a whole thing about, okay, the president at that time was, okay, we don't need them. Let them go, you know. So I think society and the things that we hear in media seep in to our consciousness. Mm. And it comes out, you know, in our thinking and you know, and how we view older people. And I believe the ageism still exists in the workforce, you know, as Rita mentioned earlier. So I think all those things together impact how people look at the older person. And it's too bad.
They're missing out on all that wisdom.
Wisdom,
all
yes.
All that culture, because you've navigated through a lot of different settings, different cultures, different workplaces, all kinds of things. And I see a woman or a man of wisdom. It doesn't have to actually be from this second, but I guarantee you, people are still people. I don't think that part's going to change. I'm very clear that, you know, if a person treats you a certain way, you have a choice one way or another how to treat them back. But a person with wisdom would know, hey, do it with kindness, because there's no value in giving anger to a situation that doesn't warrant it. But that's something that, you know, maybe that is needs to be shared through conversations. And that's why I asked the question about intergenerational living. Do you think that may be a win-win situation for seasoned folks as well as young generation to really empower each other and not forget the past, so they don't have to start from ground zero every time when there's a cause or something that needs to be managed?
Yeah, I think that that's important. You know I have learned from younger people, and younger people have learned from me. So I think there's a give and take,
and absolutely,
there's a value, a precious value in intergenerational communication. And I know, like, I've had a lot of friends. A lot of my friends are younger, and that's just, you know, I mean, I have certainly have friends who are my peers. But I also have, like, on the jobs, I've made friends with people who are 20, 30 years younger.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that that's an important opportunity that we should all leverage in terms of learning and teaching from each other. I think that that's valuable.
Yes.
And when you look at women and the cycles that we go through in life, health-wise, a lot of times we don't know what, just say menopause, what happens in menopause, because women don't talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's fair to say.
Yeah, so
that's fair to say.
We need to have more and more of those conversations.
That's great. Yes. Rita?
I don't really have much to add to that. Because I personally didn't go through menopause.
One lucky person there, isn't it?
Because I don't remember it at all. I don't remember having these mood changes and going through. I just know that something stopped.
Okay, got it.
But I don't, people tell me about all the things that they go through, and I don't remember those going through those things. But that's a topic of discussion with someone younger. Not everyone starts their cycle at the same time. I remember I was 10 years old. Some people, 14, 15 years old, still don't know what that's like. And then as young adults, and then young mothers, young parents of daughters, in fact, we do need to communicate. We do need to talk about things and learn as you grow. So I don't really have much to add to that, except for the fact that we all go through different phases and we're all women.
Exactly. And I'd rather know the experience of someone ahead of me so I can look out for the warning signs or whatever that is, or I don't have to live every experience. That's right. The one good thing about folks that are older than I am, because they can give me their wisdom from their experience and I don't have to live that.
Yeah.
And that's a definitely an over opportunity for stepping over one versus stepping in one. So
can I just add to that, Regina?
Yes, absolutely.
You know, in the workforce, they always encourage you to have a mentor. That mentor usually is an older person. You know, so I ask myself, you know, why is it that we value that aspect of mentorship in the workplace? And a lot of times it's been males, you know, who have the mentors because they've been in the workforce longer and in upper management than females. But yet living and embracing the stages that we go through, you don't have that same kind of value. So we should equate the two, because they are, you know, it's about learning from someone who's wiser, who has gone through a stage that, you know, that you're going to go through. And hey, let's put that same quality, that value on that.
Absolutely. And perfect example, Tea Time Midlife Edition actually came to pass because I was going through menopause and at a high ticket job in the workplace. And unfortunately, my mother was passed away by then. And my three aunts, they had, for different reasons medically, none of them had menopause. Wow. So I thought they were going to talk to me.
Nobody did.
And they had nothing for me. So I end up finding a trusted friend at work who was quietly going through menopause. And I mean quietly. Mm-hmm. And I just happened to be vulnerable and say, hey, I'm going through this. She was like, hey, I'm going through that. And she had literally said, I've been trying this. What have you been trying? Mm-hmm. And so we just started at 3 o'clock. Meeting, have a cup of tea, sharing what, you know, we were doing. Was something effective? Was something not effective? And that's how Tea Time Midlife Edition came to pass once I had the opportunity to create it. So yeah, it really does help. Like you said, it may start at workplace, but it could be at your church. It could be at your, you know, synagogue, mosque, wherever that is. But it's just opening up and speaking to someone and connecting on a human level. Not about, you know, anything else. So I know that you guys are doing some pretty big things out in the world. I know you have your weekly Clubhouse. I'd love you to share about that. And I know, Rita, you have a TED Talk coming up. Like, there's a lot to Ariaka. I know you have events coming up. So please.
You know, Clubhouse, I got involved in it at the beginning of 2001, end of 2021, I meant. You know, it's a new platform, all audio. And I got on there just out of curiosity. And when I initially, you know, looked around, I didn't see too many other older people. I didn't. And it kind of turned me off initially, but then I said, you know what, let me give it a try again. So I went back in and saw that there was an opportunity. I got to meet a few other people, you know, on Instagram, for like you, Regina, and some yes. other people, you know, who are, you know, kind of the same age. And I saw that there were beginning to be a few rooms that, you know, that talked to our age group. And I said, well, you know, let me start a club, you know. And then Rita and I, you know, we had always said, you know, we should do something together, because we're kind of, you know, in the same, talking to the same age group of people. And so I asked her, you know, would she like to join me in this club? And, you know, it was, at first it was called Saxy Season Sisters, something like that. And then we recently changed the name to Aging Redefined. It's all about marketing and who you attract and, you know, words matter, et cetera. So yes. we changed it to Aging Redefined. It's a small, intimate club. Rooms that we have every Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. But we always, always have these interesting conversations. Mm-hmm. You know, people leave there with knowledge, with information that they can use in their life right now.
Mm.
Yeah, so people will join us, you know, meet us on Mondays.
Absolutely. There will be a link in the show notes, Rita.
Yes. Well, I joined Clubhouse the end of 2020. And it was because friends were telling me about this exclusive new club, this new app. And I needed to get on, and only people with iPhones can get on it. And oh, they made you feel so special. So someone invited, you had to be invited. And someone invited me, and I responded, and I started listening to different rooms. It's changed dramatically now. At that time, it did feel kind of exclusive. There were so many new things going on. You could listen to interesting conversation, and you felt comfortable with the information you were receiving. It's grown now to where people are hustling on there. You know, and most of the people are looking for money, and there's so many other organizations or clubs that have to do with seniors now. They come up with these yeah. fancy names, but yes, they're really going for us. And I don't trust them all. I'm being honest. I don't
got
trust
it. Them all.
Because, you know, even with your emails and on Facebook and other social media, they're looking for seniors, not necessarily to help us, but to see yes. what they can get. And
yes.
so I like our club because we started with a pure heart. We're aging gracefully. We want to speak with other women and just share information because we find out different things as we go along. We yeah. read articles that really enlighten us, and we want to share that information. And that's why our group is an important group, and it's a valuable group, because the information we give you is stuff, information you could use.
Well, absolutely.
Really information that you can use, put like Siriaka said, information you could use right now. I really encourage everyone to tune in Monday night, 6 to 7 p.m.
I definitely would agree. You guys are both very inspirational. You ladies know exactly. I feel like you're on the pulse because, one, you're living it. It's really right. easy to talk from the space of I'm living it. Yes. I don't get the concept of it. That's why whenever you're in a room and it feels like you're being pitched to, that's a sales room. That's not mm-hmm. inspirational talking from fact room. That's a, you know, stats and, you know, stuff like that. So, and Clubhouse still has value. So I don't want to get lost in the sauce,
right.
but I really, you may get in front of people you may never get in front of, but guess what? They're in Clubhouse. Yeah. Who knew, you know, and that's the value of Clubhouse. So, and you want to be in front of people who are really speaking to you because they're living it, not the concept, they're living it.
Right.
So where are you going to?
No, I just.
Go ahead.
No, I just encourage, you know, seasoned sisters, you know, to check out different social media.
Right.
Yeah.
Venues, you know, because that's where you can expand your network, expand your mind, and that certainly helps you to redefine aging for yourself.
Yes.
You know, so there's so many outlets, and Clubhouse, you know, I believe it is one, you know, and it's you choose which rooms speak to you. But like you said, Regina, you might meet somebody in there that could just be the person that you need to take you to the next step, whatever that may
exactly.
be.
Exactly. Exactly. Fair to say. That's a thing. When you're talking about age redefined, you really have to keep expanding and growing. Both you ladies are passionate. I think that's the word that jumps out at me. The passion is so obvious. Well, you are a continuous learner. I can hear that in what you're communicating. I don't get the experience of that you've learned it all and that's it. I get there's more behind the curtain, and I get that your goal is to inspire people. Rita, share what's coming up for you, and Siraka as well. What's next?
Yes. Well, thank you. What you were saying is so true, that you have to understand that there's more to learn. You don't know it all. Even at this age, there's still more to learn. There's still more you can do. What it is, I am a speaker and I enjoy public speaking. I've always wanted to do a TED Talk ever since I've heard of TED Talks. I watch TED Talks on the computer all day long. I go to YouTube and I'm on one of their lists where I get recommended talks, things that they think I would enjoy, because I really enjoy public speaking and I enjoy a good speech. And TED Talks, it's all about teaching someone something new or giving someone a new idea, sharing something you believe people need to know. I have been applying to different TED Talks in different cities nearby because I don't wish to travel, because they don't pay for your travel. So no. I don't really wish to go out of my way. So I've been applying for different TED Talks for many years, at least 5 years. This year, I applied to a few. I've just moved to the North Carolina area. I say just moved. A year ago, I moved. And I had not been receiving responses. But this year, this must be my year. This year, I received responses. Two of the responses were very positive. One of them told me they'd let me know. That was TEDx Raleigh. They told me they'd let me know by the 25th of June, I believe it was. And the other one said that they wanted to interview me. Well, I was interviewed, it was TEDx Greensboro. I did interview, and the interview went so well. I felt so good about the interview. I felt confident I was going to be called. Bottom line, because I can go on and on, I did not get the assignment in Raleigh, but TEDx Greensboro gave me the slot, and I'm one of 10 speakers that will be speaking at TEDx Greensboro on November 3rd. And I'm so excited.
Bravo, bravo.
I will be talking about seniors aging gracefully. Well,
wow.
I have
that is awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Wow. And you said you were what age again? Just by chance? What?
Yeah, now, I'm 70.
Mm-hmm. Now that begs a question for me. What made you think at 70 you can do a TED Talk?
It's nothing to me. I've been on stage, I think, since about 2020. I started with Toastmasters, by the way. I'm a distinguished Toastmaster. I've won 7 district championships. I'm an award winner. I really like writing speeches and presenting them. So since I felt I could do it, the fact that I'm 70, I think I have to tell you my age. I don't think you can look at me and say, oh, there's a 70-year-old. In fact, yes. I look at women, and I when I hear how old they are, I look at them, what kind of life have you led? And I know. It's a blessing. Yes. And I want to share that it's nothing special. The difference is I live my life. And I don't look at it negatively. I don't live thinking I can't do that. I can't wear that. I can't go there. I can do whatever I want to do. I have breath in my body. I can walk. I'm in good health. Do it. Do what you want to do. And that's what I share. In my speech, I share that you need to continue living. Don't limit yourself, because the wisdom that you've gained throughout the years gives you superpower. Mm. Been there, done that. You can stop someone else. You can prevent hurt and harm from coming to other younger women, because you know, and you have that superpower.
Yes, aging is a superpower,
it is.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing. But Sariaka?
Well, I don't have a TED Talk coming up, but I do one-on-one work with seasoned sisters. My website is Wise and Fit Too. We can put that in the show notes as well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I run free challenges in my Facebook group, you know, from time to time. So certainly women can join me there. And I also do group programs about 2 or 3 times a year. So if anyone would like to, you know, contact me. Again, I work with seasoned sisters, helping you live your healthiest life yet and embrace the stage that you're in. And again, my website is wiseandfit2.com.
Thank you so much. Rita, is there a way they can get in contact with you?
I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. On Facebook, it's Rita Flores Moore. On Instagram is Rita_speaks. I know that I should have the same thing across the board, but when I created these pages, I wasn't thinking business-wise. I was just creating a page.
Yeah.
Right. I'm on Twitter also, Rita Moore Speaks. I have a website, RitaMooreSpeaks.com. However, it focuses more on producing for public access television because I produced for so many years. I'm in the process of updating it because I really, not that I've stopped producing, but I produce for seniors now. I'm really looking at my people. You know, we got to let people know we're here. We can do what you've done. We've already been there. We can do anything. So I'm just trying to update. I even have a blog called readersdigest.com. I'm going to update them all so I can be reached. I'm out there.
Wow. It has been an awesome, awesome conversation. Most of all, I really appreciate you ladies sharing your passion, your enthusiasm, your being an inspiration, and most of all, packaging that gift and giving it out to the world. Thank you.
Well, thank you for having us. Thank you for the opportunity to be here.
This has been Tea Time Midlife Edition. Cheers.
It's Tea Time Midlife Edition.